Welcome to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast with Darren Mitchell. If you're a sales leader looking to take your leadership to a whole new level, then this is the podcast for you. We'll be exploring tips, techniques, and strategies to help you take your leadership to the exceptional level and allow you to enjoy more money, more meaning, and better sales results. Hello and welcome back to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. Darren Mitchell here on a wonderful Tuesday, 13th of October 2020. I trust you've had a really positive start to the week and looking forward to a really big week ahead. Hey, today I wanted to talk about emotions and a key part of emotional intelligence. I've just come off a 1.5 hour workshop with an organization where we're talking about the power of emotions, but also understanding from an emotional intelligence point of view how emotions play a huge part in us being really adept at becoming more flexible in our behavior as an individual contributor, but also from a leadership point of view, how being in control of our emotions, or at least recognizing our emotions, is a great way to increase our level of intelligence around emotions and therefore formulate opportunities for better conversations with people, particularly when it comes to driving peak performance, and certainly when it comes to being in a position to have the feedback conversations that I know we need to have and a lot of high-performing organizations have as a matter of common practice. So it was a great conversation, and there was a number of topics we talked about, including a model that talks about the emotional spectrum that people can go on to in terms of how emotions play out in the workplace. And it's something that's really pertinent to us, certainly as leaders, and being aware of this certainly help us drive our leadership but also drive our team. But at its core, we talked about the fact that emotional intelligence is really the ability to, first of all, identify and then manage our own emotions and also be aware of sometimes the emotion of others. And it's only when we're able to do that really effectively can we be in a position to increase our level of emotional intelligence and therefore have really better, more in-depth, more detailed, more authentic conversations. And history tells us that years and years ago, some organizations still choose people and bring people into the organization purely based on IQ or their performance history. And I guess not as many organizations used to. I think more and more are now cottoning onto this, but more and more are starting to think about how can we bring people in based on a level of emotional intelligence. So how emotionally ready will be the people coming into the organization? How emotionally mature are they? Do they have the skill sets they're looking for to be able to adapt to environments and bring the level of experience and wisdom that we are looking for that can also grow with us as an organization, rather than purely looking at what's their performance been and what's their IQ measurement? And so more and more organizations are now looking at EQ as a more interesting factor when it comes to bringing in people. And this is why a lot of organizations also have a lot of cognitive testing before people come into organizations. And by the way, people within existing companies also every now and then do some cognitive testings and behavioral profiling just to see what sort of mix we've got in terms of people and whether we've got the right mix that will be conducive to long-term sustainable performance. And so the topic of today, this organization was really looking for some help around helping increase the level of self-awareness for their people, but also getting them ready for really constructive feedback conversations and getting them more, I guess, accepting of having feedback conversations, not necessarily pushing back. And it all starts with this thing called emotional intelligence and really recognizing what the emotions are that are playing out and how we can actually recognize them ourselves and start recognizing them in others. So as Daniel Goleman says, and he wrote a great book, Emotional Intelligence, he's been quoted as saying, if you are tuned out of your own emotions, you will actually be poor at reading them in other people. So one of the key things is starting to look at the emotions. And we talked about how different people have different expressions. And sometimes it can be quite difficult and challenging to pinpoint emotions because people's expressions don't always necessarily give you a direct indication in terms of what they're thinking, what they're feeling. But in some cases it does. And vice versa, we talked about the fact that, hey, in some cases we might be really intently thinking and in our own world inside our head, going through some tactics or some strategies or trying to solve a problem. And the outward expression on our face is something that might be quite contorted, or the perception is that we might be looking anxious, or we might be looking frustrated or looking angry. And that's how people will read us. So the impressions we create based on the expressions we show can often give people an insight in terms of what they think the emotions may be, but that's not always the case. So there's obviously some things we need to be doing in terms of verifying whether the impression that a person is creating, is this the actual emotion that they're actually feeling. So a key part, of course, of understanding the power of emotions is getting a great insight in terms of, okay, what's the spectrum of emotions that exist, that happen typically across most organizations, across most humans in organizations, really irrespective of the demographic and really irrespective of the country, for example. And there's some work that's been done by a psychologist called Robert Plutchik, and back in 1980, he put together what's called the Plutchik's Emotional Wheel. And if you haven't seen this, I'd regularly recommend you to jump onto YouTube or jump onto Google and just type in Plutchik's Emotional Wheel. And it's a really phenomenal little wheel that explains how there are 8 primary or basic emotions and 16 secondary emotions, and they're on a spectrum. And what's really interesting is, from a self-awareness point of view, and particularly when it comes to talking about emotional intelligence, being aware of these and being aware of what type of emotions sit on what spectrum gives us a really interesting insight in terms of, okay, if I'm feeling a certain way and I don't do something about it, I don't either continue to accentuate that feeling, I don't add to that feeling, or I don't stop that feeling and do something else, then if it's left unchecked, it can actually turn into something that's quite unresourceful and not necessarily result in the result that ultimately we want. And so it's a really interesting model that talks about those 8 primary emotions. And the 8 primary emotions he came up with was anger, anticipation, joy, trust, fear, surprise, sadness, and disgust. Now, with that, you've got an additional 16 emotions that are considered the secondary emotions that come from those primary or those basic emotions. And interestingly, each primary emotion has a polar opposite, which are based on the physiological reactions of each emotion that's created based on that emotion. So, for example, you've got joy, and joy is the opposite of sadness. And so in the physiology, how that plays out is, obviously, when you've got joy, there's a higher level of connection, so there's a connectivity there. But from a sadness point of view, the physiological response to sadness can often be withdrawn. So you've got joy being the opposite of sadness, and from a physiology point of view, it's either being connected or being withdrawn. You've got fear as being the opposite of anger. So from a physiological standpoint, it's when there's fear, sometimes you might get really small and hide and get really insular. But when you're angry, potentially you can get really big and really loud, very boisterous, and sometimes in your face. And you might have seen this play out in organizations and in environments before, where people are demonstrating a certain level of emotion and can't necessarily have a control over that emotion, which is another interesting point. If we look at anticipation, the opposite of anticipation is surprise. So the physiological there is, you've got something where you will examine something really, really close, or you'll jump back from a physiological point of view. And the last one you've got there is the disgust, is the opposite of trust. So physiologically, it's rejecting versus embracing what's going on. Now, they're the 8 key or 8 primary emotions that play out according to Plutchik. And there are some that also, when you combine 2 primary, come up with a combination. And these emotions that are a mix of the 2 primary emotions. So, for example, if you have a level of anticipation and joy, then typically when those 2 things are together, you've got a feeling or an emotion of optimism. When you've got things like joy and trust together, this is where you've got an emotion of love that can be created. When you've got fear and trust together, for example, you might have an emotion that's created out of those 2 emotions that's known as submission. So there's a whole host of different combinations that play out. But what's really intriguing is, this is albeit I shared with the team a 2-dimensional model. It's a 3-dimensional model, which is in the shape of a cone, a vertical cone. And each emotion on each spectrum has a high level of intensity depending on how high you go or how close to the center. So as an example, you might be in an environment where you think there's a level of anger that is a primary emotion that somebody is feeling right now, but on the spectrum of anger, you've got annoyance. So annoyance, for example, will be the least intense version of anger. But if it's left unchecked, if you don't do something about it, then the annoyance can very quickly turn into anger, and that anger can turn very quickly into rage, which is not good for anybody, let alone high performing sales teams. Another example was, okay, you might have somebody that's looking or feeling bored. So there's a level of boredom. And it's on the spectrum of disgust, which is one of the primary emotions. So boredom might actually be the least intense right now from a disgust perspective. And think about engagement of your team. If you've got somebody who's bored, very quickly, if something's not done about it, then very quickly that boredom can turn into disgust, which then turn into loathing. And this is where organizations start to have increased turnover because either the leaders or the individuals within the team are not checking their emotions, not doing something about it, and then trying to change that to create a better environment, more conducive environment to positive productivity, positive emotions to then get the outcomes we're looking for. So it was a really interesting conversation because it was all done on the basis of we need to get better at a higher level of self-awareness from an emotional intelligence perspective. And the key part of that is to understand the different types of emotions that actually do play out each and every day. And being aware of those and they at least gives us a level of power that we can at least recognize them and do something about it. Now, all of these a lot of these emotions are quite resourceful, and a lot of them are also unresourceful. And of course, what we want to do is we want to tap into the resourceful ones and accentuate these even more, but also the unresourceful ones, be aware of those and either change them or at least minimize the intensity. So if you actually are in an agreement, in a situation where there is something that's happened and you've got a fit of rage, then we want to get very quickly to dose that down and dial it down to be quite annoyed rather than being rage. And when we're in a state of annoyance, the emotional, I guess, impact is not as high, and therefore we can do something about changing that and being in a position to, I guess, self-regulate and then choose some responses to the situation we find ourselves in, which is all about being more emotionally intelligent and certainly more self-aware. The other key thing we talked about, which was really interesting to the team, was just a little bit of science around the limbic system in the brain and thinking about, well, the limbic system is the part of the brain that controls emotions and helps form and retain memories. And it performs a number of functions for us, including controlling emotions such as anger and fear, all the emotions we just talked about, regulating eating, hunger, and thirst. It responds to pain and pleasure. It controls our autonomic system or autonomic nervous system, which looks at things like the pulse, blood pressure, breathing, and also arousal, and responding to sensory information, particularly and especially our sense of smell. And a key part of the limbic system, of course, is the amygdala. So this plays a key part in recognizing facial expressions and also deciding if someone that we're talking to, someone we're engaging with, is actually trustworthy. And it's where the emotions are given meaning and where we remember emotions. So if you think back to a situation in the past where it might be a great experience, might be a not so great experience, but there might be some music that you listen to and it takes you right back to that particular situation and you start feeling the feelings you had back when that event happened. It could be, you know, a catastrophic event like 911, or it could be something else completely, but you'll find that the amygdala has memories that will actually tap into that feeling, and those emotions will start to be released when you remember that particular situation. It could be just a trigger, such as a song that you hear. What's also interesting is Daniel Goleman, who did a lot of research on emotional intelligence, and he talks about this concept called the amygdala hijack, which is essentially used to describe responses to stimuli that are immediate and sometimes they're overwhelming, where the rational or thinking part of the brain, which is the frontal cortex, is essentially suppressed or hijacked to the point where logic goes out the window and we sometimes react to things without control. Now, emotional intelligence is a key reason or a key strategy, if you like, as to why it's important for us to regain control, and certainly in situations where we can suffer from an amygdala hijack, being in a position where we can recognize that response, recognize sometimes that irrational response that emotions can generate in us, and look at strategies for managing those. And one of the key strategies around that is a thing called self-awareness and having the self-confidence to first of all identify the emotions that exist within you, looking at the systems that are creating those emotions, looking at the events that are creating those emotions and giving some meaning to them and really tapping into the amygdala. Having the emotional awareness of what's been going on, but also recognizing based on the behaviors that you're putting out as a result of the emotions you're feeling, how is that behavior impacting others? So as a sales leader, as an example, if you're not feeling great, also understand that your team's watching every move, and everything you do has an impact on your team because your team is and always will be a reflection of you. So if you're not feeling it, guess what? They're probably not going to be feeling it either. So it's not about manufacturing emotions. It's more about being aware of the emotions and looking at what's actually happening in your environment that is causing you to feel a certain way. And the first key step of that is being aware of what those emotions are and where you are on the spectrum, and then identifying what you can do to actually either accentuate the emotion if it's a positive one, or change the emotion if it's a not so positive, not so resourceful one, that you want to replace it with an emotion that is more resourceful for you. So it was a fantastic conversation, and I really implore you that certainly as a sales leader, be really aware of the emotions that you are experiencing day in, day out. And sometimes we have no control over the emotions because things will happen, and sometimes those events will create a feeling in us that sometimes we just don't have any control over. But the more we can increase our level of self-actualization and self-awareness, the better position we're going to be in to be able to handle the situations that are in front of us and then choose the most appropriate steps that come next in order to then put ourselves in the best position to serve our team, serve our key stakeholders, and give ourselves every opportunity of getting the results that we want to get to. So the key message out of today is from an emotional intelligence point of view, really get clear on being more self-aware. Just being aware of not so much just your emotions, but where little things like your own facial expressions. Just ask people for feedback. So what is my facial expression showing? What do you think this emotion is that I'm demonstrating based on how my face is looking right now? And just get some feedback, because that'll give you some great feedback about the impressions you're creating to other people, and gives you some feedback that you can then adjust or continue to do the same thing if it's positive feedback and it's serving you and serving the team. So it was a great session today, and the guys got a lot out of it. And at the minimum, they got to understand that some of the emotions they're experiencing, they can now understand them a little bit better, and they can understand where they sit on the spectrum. And they now have some power to be able to think about strategies to change it, to make them feel better. And through that process, also set an example to enable people within their team to also regulate and change the emotions they're feeling as well. So it's a win-win across the board, because everybody's level of emotional intelligence hopefully will increase just that one level above. So given it was nice and fresh, I thought what better way than to keep the message going and record a podcast. So I trust that message resonates. The key message out of today is, certainly as a sales leader, start getting more attuned and more regulated around your emotions, being aware of what those emotions are and how those emotions are playing out, and thinking about whether they're resourceful or not, particularly based on the example and the impressions you're creating with your team. So, and if I can help you at all, if you'd love some help around this, and if you'd love to take your leadership to the exceptional sales leader level, please let me know. Happy to have a conversation and talk through a program that might be just right for you and help you over the next 90 days. Simply go to leadwithdarren.com, pick a time that suits you, and we'll sit down and have a conversation about that. Look forward to that. And also, if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, please do so. And please rate the show. Rate the show, because that will enable other people just like you to also find the show as well. So until next episode, continue to focus on your emotions. Look at the positive emotions, but also look at the emotions that are not necessarily serving you, and think about how you can adjust those to get better results, not just for you, but also for your team. And I look forward to then talking to you on the next episode of the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. All the best. Thank you for listening to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. I trust the information in this episode has been helpful in your journey towards becoming exceptional. And remember, please take the time to rate the show, subscribe to the show so other people can find it. But also, if I can help you, jump on my calendar, go to leadwithdarren.com, and let's have a conversation about how I can help you along your journey to being exceptional.